from discount shopping that may pop up on your phone to a little more natural location. Now, it might sound like an idyllic setting for campers, cultural practitioners, and people who just want to be out in nature, but with amenities. The state's plan to develop Kauainui Marsh with buildings, roads, campsites, and all sorts of other things would substantially change the character of the wetland. Some organizations have called that plan a land grab. Linda Paul is president of the Audubon Society, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
With all of the, you know, that term, a land grab, putting that aside for a second, just looking at what is in the plan itself, it seems that many of the elements might very well be characterized as thwarting each other. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. We have several buildings planned that are mauka of a wetland, and this is a wetland, a marsh of international importance, a Ramsar site, and it is an inappropriate area for all of many of the activities that have been put in this plan. Restoration of water bird habitat, which is one of our chief concerns, is taking place in a 90-acre, roughly, area. But that area was purchased with land and water conservation funds, which also has a recreational component. The marsh itself is almost 900 acres large, and there is a lot of area in there that needs to be restored. It needs to have public access close to it. If you look at places like Campbell National Wildlife Refuge, whole months out of the year, no public is allowed to go in there because it's nesting season. It disturbs the birds. So it is incompatible to have trails and buildings and all of this going on in an area that's being restored for water bird habitat, for endangered species benefit.
What about some of the other elements of being able to have, you know, restoration of ponds?
The pond restoration project was something that we have sponsored. We, in fact, have adopted one of the ponds. Our members work there once a month clearing out alien species. But that, again, is in an area where they have projected to have a maintenance road cut across that area in between the ponds to maintain another area that they are restoring. That area just below Les Jardins Academy is also an excellent area to do stream restoration and native habitat. But you have that whole area surrounded by a maintenance yard for the Department of Land and Natural Resources, which needs to be removed to the transfer station. You have this causeway and roadway cutting across it. You have roads on three sides of it. You have trails on three sides of it. It's just the two are working against one another.
Isn't the point of ponds to be able to have a flow-through system? How can you have a flow-through system if you have roads cutting across it and maintenance works being done around it?
Yes, the ponds themselves are high-tech ponds. They have to have water pumped up to them. They were built deliberately above the water level of the marsh because there are old walls from ancient loess underneath.
So there's no natural flow-through?
There's no natural flow-through, and there's no way for the water to get out. Actually, so there are sections, at least on the downstream side of the pond that we adopted, that are actually turning anoxic. They smell like rotten eggs. We're all familiar with that smell.
So what happens when you have a pond in that state, also in a wetland?
For the water birds, it is a serious threat because...
I mean, it sounds like it's a sort of a bit of a toxic mess.
Yes, and you can actually have a threat outbreak of botulism in a situation like that, and these endangered species will die. It's not, I mean, it was well-intentioned, but they're trying to accommodate too much, save the walls, but save the birds at the same time, and you're ending up with something that's not doing what it needed to have done.
Okay, so your points so far that you have buildings and maintenance roads and all kinds of other things that are in a place where they shouldn't be, although some of this land was purchased with funds that would necessitate recreation. That seems to be an inherent conflict at its very base. But now what do you do when you have all of these things that are planned for it and buildings that independent organizations are going to have to raise funds to be able to make happen if, in fact, it does go forward? Was the community okay with this happening this way?
No, the community, there were several community meetings, lots of them. There was community input. I attended most of them. The community that I saw trying to fill out these forms, they were given choices of where do you want to put these facilities. There wasn't the option on the table of do you really want to have them or not, but people wrote that option in. The Kailua Neighborhood Board has kept a very careful tally of community input and has concluded that what is in the plan is not what the community input reflected. Audubon Society is not opposed to cultural centers or education centers. They just need to be on the Mackay side of the marsh, on the downstream side. Gateway Park, for example, on Kawainui Canal, the Wailua Corner, the old ITT Center at the gate to Kailua Town, because there's a sewer system there. Ulupo is not exactly downstream, but it's in an area where there are a lot of housing and there's sewage there. The area below Kalaheo High School, again, is an area that's not exactly in the wetland. It's on the uphill side of the channel there, and you could put a cultural center there. But anything mauka of that, we should not be putting buildings, roads, trails, parking lots, anything of that sort. It's a wetland. That's what it is. It's not an appropriate place to have these kinds of things.
As you mentioned earlier that it's a Ramsar designated site, is there anything within that designation that would automatically say that this can't happen, that it can't be developed?
Well, what is interesting, I mean, there are basically four criteria that this wetland met in order to be declared a wetland, world wetland of international importance. The fact that there are endangered birds there, the fact that it's a rare and unique wetland type, that it's a migratory path for native gobies, that there's ecological diversity there. That's another reason why that big, huge mat of vegetation in the middle of the pond that the public sees trees growing out of, that's all alien species. They say it provides flood control and protection for Kawainui Town, but there needs to be a hydrology study done. That mat is taking up water storage space.
But going back to the point that you just made for those reasons that you've listed, is there any grounds on which you could stand to say you just can't do this with this wetland because of its international importance?
I think there is a danger we could lose it, and it would be very embarrassing for this state because the International Union of Concerned Scientists of IUCN is actually meeting here in 2016, and IUCN is the one that sponsored the Ramsar Convention.
Which was in 1971.
So,
I mean, a very long time and long designation.
That's right. They're going to visit this
site. So how do you see the conversation moving forward so that, you know, different elements and different entities aren't alienating each other as much as this plan seems to be thwarting itself with different elements that don't work in concert?
I think it needs to go back to the drawing board. I think it needs to be done better. The concepts need to be fleshed out about how we're going to work with the whole marsh and not just certain parts of it, a few buildings along the edge, the one center, 190 acres that's being restored. And we need to look at the whole marsh and plan for the future 20, 40, 50 years down the line.
From a holistic perspective.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much. We're going to leave it there for the moment. Linda Paul is the president of the Hawaii Audubon Society. Thanks.
Thank you.